Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Sunday night edition of Sportsman Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Remo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up? Happy July 4th weekend.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are enjoying the 4th of July weekend as well. And on today's show, we got a busy show. We're going to be talking about the NBA free agency, Jalen Brunson signing, with the Knicks. Of course, Kevin Durant demanding to be traded out of the Nets on the 3-year anniversary where Durant, you know, Durant and Kyrie Irving basically insulted the Knicks and took their talents to Brooklyn. And, you know, we'll talk about that, talk about the other moves that happened and the possible trade rumors that surrounding them. You know, we'll also talk about the Mets, you know, recent battles with the Rangers. And, of course, you know, we're also going to talk about the Yankees as well. You know, their series against, you know, the Guardians. Montgomery pitched well, but, you know, it was a tough luck loser for today's game. We'll talk about that series. You know, we'll also talk about what happened in WWE, the Money in the Bank ladder match pay-per-view event, and what's going on at AEW. But most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you. And the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. We'd love to hear from you. With that said, let's just let's go right into NBA. And the big news that shocked the baseball world, I mean, other than myself, is Kevin Durant, you know, basically, you know, wanting out, even though the Nets, you know, have basically moved heaven and earth for him to make him happy so they can, you know, break the drought that the Nets have been on. Nets haven't won a championship, an NBA championship in their history. The last time they've won a title was when they were members of the NBA, the ABA, I should say. So, yeah, it's yeah. Today's episode is called Durant's Net Entanglement, and Brunson cashes in the WWE briefcase and joins Knicks. So basically, now Durant's in an entanglement. He's trying to get himself out of the net. You know, the Nets. You know, he wanted, you know, them to get rid of the coach that they had. And then they hired another coach, and you know, they wanted to, you know, build a team around him. They traded away all these guys they had, like Caris LeVert, and I'm trying to think of the other players that they had when they went all in to try to go after James Harden. And as we all know, you know, that was just a colossal failure. The big three never hardly played with each other. You know, Durant was hurt ever since, you know, his last year with the Warriors, signed the deal. He missed the first year. And then, of course, Kyrie every year, you know, there's always something. The pandemic, you know, he missed some games. He got suspended because he apparently was partying when he was supposed to be with his family instead of when he was supposed to be in the bubble. And then last year, you know, his stance on the vaccine, which, you know, made him a road warrior for the Nets. You know, he couldn't play on the court at home at Barclays Center until, you know, the playoff time. And you know, it was a little too late. By that time, Harden demanded his trade, and he got traded to Philly. Now he's a free agent now. And then you got Harden traded for Ben Simmons, who, you know, this guy hasn't played, you know, basketball in over a year. So who knows if he'll ever play again, or, you know, especially as a Net, because apparently there's rumors that he deactivated his social media account. I think they said it was Instagram. So, you know, he wants to be done with the drama surrounding the Nets. You know, after Kyrie opted in, Durant wants out, and now he wants to be traded. Now the rumors is the two teams he wants to get traded to is Phoenix and Miami. But what he doesn't realize is once they make the trade, those teams are going to get weaker, you know. They're not going to be all, you know, like championship caliber teams that he, you know, he's expecting them to be. You're going to have to, for you to get a player like Durant, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime talent, you're going to have to give up a lot to get a lot, which is Durant. So I want to ask you a question. Do you think Kevin Durant is justified in demanding a trade to leave the Nets, or do you think he's an entitled superstar?
I think he's an entitled superstar, right?
Why?
I mean, because this guy forces his way. Well, I wouldn't say forces his way because, you know, he signed to both the Warriors and the Nets as a free agent. But mm-hmm. he feels like he needs, whenever things aren't going his way, he feels he needs a change. And now Kyrie is about to be traded, and Harden was traded during the regular season. Now mm-hmm. you know things aren't going his way. Now he wants to find a way out
mm-hmm.
from the organization that he played the Knicks for. And yeah, this guy is a diva. Him and Kyrie are both divas.
Yeah,
yeah. And now he's gonna find an easy route to get another ring.
Yep.
So, you know, KD, he's a great player and all, but he's very entitled to me. You know, he feels like he deserves the world. I mean, if Kyrie is traded, stay on the Nets. Why do you feel the need to leave the Nets also?
Mm-hmm.
You know, prove that you can lead a team by yourself without another superstar.
He can't.
And he's never done that. When you think about it, on a Thunder.
Nope.
On the Thunder, he had Westbrook. On the Warriors, he had
Curry.
Yeah,
Harden.
You know?
At one point.
Yeah, yeah. So he's always had superstars around him. Like, prove
mm-hmm.
that you can lead a team by yourself, you know?
And, I mean, I agree with everything you said, man. I co-sign everything you said, man. And that's the messed up thing about it. Like, this dude is a natural-born leader, but he don't want to lead. He's the best. It's like he's Superman, but he wants to be Clark Kent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like he can't handle the pressure. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and it's just, you know, players nowadays, they're just built differently, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
they just, their mentality is different. Like, back in the days, if Jordan whooped your behind, you wanted to stick it to Jordan. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why Ewing, Barkley, Malone, Stockton, so many great players during that 80s and 90s era, especially the 90s era, they didn't win a title. But it wasn't their fault. You know, it's just they were battling the Jordan. And remember Jordan, you know, Jordan had to be Jordan because he had to go through the fire. And that fire was called the Detroit Pistons. He had to go through the Jordan rules in order for him to rule the NBA. You know? So I mean, they're expecting everything to be easy. Durant, like, the Warriors knocked him out of the playoffs. Warriors were bullying him. And he really took that scene to heart. Like, if you can't beat them, join them. Like, he literally took that saying, that old saying to heart, man. He fulfilled
yeah.
it. And he went to the Warriors, man. It's kind of like in those TV shows, like, When like the one of the main characters or the kid, he's bullying in school, you know. So what does he do? He joins the same gang of the bullies that were bullying him, so he won't get bullied, you know.
Exactly.
Instead of standing up for his convictions and, you know, battling against them. Like back in the days, TV shows, movies, stuff like that. Like when you bully, you stand up to the bully and you fight. You fight.
Right.
You know what I mean? This mentality that he has right now is like, I can't struggle. I can't go through adversity. I'm just going to take the easy way out, and I'm just going to, you know, get the title at the easiest way. You know what I mean? So he went to the Warriors, and he won two titles. Was he a scrub on the team? Absolutely not. He was brilliant. He was fantastic. The problem with it is, and I did say this at the time, because if you know, if you look at the episodes that happened, what, years ago, like say about 5 years ago, on this same channel, I was saying that the Warriors didn't need Durant. You know what I'm saying? Like, they blew a 3-1 lead. They could have easily, had they played better defense and have, you know, all that drama surrounding, you know, Draymond Green, they could have easily won that series against LeBron. You know, like, they didn't have to, and they had a 73-win season. Like, one more, getting Durant, is it going to make you win 74 wins instead? Like, he's a great player. He's an all-time great player. I mean, I don't fault, like I said back in the days, I don't fault the Warriors for taking him. If you had the best player at the time want to come to your team, you got to take him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't fault the Warriors, but Durant, like, dude, like, you could have came on another team to overtake the Warriors, and your legacy would have been so much better. I mean, obviously, you got the two titles, you know, so, I mean, that's what you wanted, and you got it. And then you went to the Nets, which, hey, it's yes, it is a manufactured, it would have been a manufactured championship, because you're creating the big, at the time you were creating the big two with Kyrie, you know, and you know what I mean. But the difference between that is actually the Nets never won a championship, an NBA championship. So at least you would be building a team from the ground up, even though they were expected to be a win now team with that talent that they had.
Yeah.
And then of course then they got Harden. But what was the salt on the wound was Durant took every opportunity to talk smack on the Knicks. Every opportunity to talk smack on the Knicks, man. Like, you know, they're not cool. You know, like, he didn't care about the fans and the billboard of them hyping, trying to woo him. You know, he's not into those stuff. And he just kept talking smack. Like, I mean, like, yeah, man, I get it. Like, the Nets are the second-class citizens of the town when it comes to basketball. You know what I mean? It doesn't have the same following, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, as compared to the Knicks. So I understand, you know, you want to defend your team and all that stuff. You want to hype up this supposed rivalry between Knicks and Nets. I get it. But it was like he was just kicking salt on the wound of the Knicks. Knicks haven't been relevant in since 2001, you know? Like, I felt like it was just petty of him to be, like, kicking the Knicks while he was down, while they're still down, actually. And then now this situation, you know, evolved that they got Harden. And then afterwards, you know, all the drama I just mentioned moments ago about, you know, Kyrie Irving the past couple of years, and then they just both, this team, Harden, you know, he leaves, he forces a trade. Kyrie Irving was rumored to be, you know, leaving, but then he opts in. And now Durant, on the three-year anniversary of him signing with the Nets, June 30th, he leaves. Like, bro, like, what are you doing? Like, it's just, like, embarrassing.
Yeah,
you know?
As a Nets fan, I'd be kicking myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is similar to, well, I guess not similar, but you remember that All-Star team that the Nets assembled years ago?
Oh, yeah, with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce.
And
you read my mind.
Joe Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And, what's his name? What's the point guard? The Darren Williams.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And that team was supposed to be like one of the greatest teams assembled for the Nets.
Yeah.
And yet they did the same thing here with KD, Kyrie, and Harden. And now in less than 3 years, that team's going to be dismantled.
And you know what's the crazy thing about it? 10 years from now, they're gonna trade for Kevin McAllister. Because every time they go after Kevin Garnett, try to build a super team, crashes and burns.
Mm-hmm.
Traded a bunch of picks, did a Kings ransom. They finally recovered from that. They go all in for this move, Kevin Durant, Kyrie, which is fine because it was free agency signing. But then they blew up the team to go after Harden, and that's what killed the Nets. You know what I mean? Them signing Durant and Kyrie didn't kill the Nets. When they got Harden and tried to force the big three, that's when they had to go all in. That's when they had to advance their chemistry. You know what I mean? Because yeah. now the cohesiveness that they would have built over the years, it got spit out because they traded away all the talent that they had on the team. Jared Allen, if I'm not mistaken, Caris LeVert, all these guys that they had on the team that they were building a nucleus with that team, a winning nucleus that team had, and then they just blow it up and they went all in. And then this is what happened. They put all their chips in, and now they're, you know, now they have to fold because yeah. Kevin Durant don't believe in the team no more. So now they gotta start over again. And now, and like I said, Durant wanted to get traded to the Suns or the Heat, but I'm thinking he's going to the Lakers, man. Kyrie, you know, the rumor is that he's going for Westbrook, which is the rumor I've been saying like this is you know, Nick should have tried to get Westbrook. Yes, I know Westbrook is washed up. What happens if you get Westbrook? You would get an expiring contract worth what, $47 million? You have that contract for a year. You could buy him out as well. And you could see if he has something in the tank for, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player. See if he could, you know, recover from that bad knee, and have him for that 1 year, you know. And then you would have had cap space, but you didn't want to think outside the box. Now the Nets are trying to do that move because Kyrie, and especially Durant is forcing their hand to do it.
Yeah.
And watch. They're gonna build a big three, a big four in LA, and that's what people were saying when LeBron went over took his talents to LA. Oh, he's not gonna win a title over there. And sure enough, I did a YouTube channel on Sports Urban Legend TV, and this channel itself, and I said, this is LeBron James. You know, at the time, this guy was the best player in the game, or one of the best players in the game. If he could get people to come to Cleveland and you know, obviously Miami, he's gonna get people to come to the Lakers. And Lakers are the Yankees of basketball. You know, they got the glitz, the glamour, the showtime. Everybody want to be seen, you know, as a member of the Lakers. They're flashy. They win titles. You know what I mean? They're literally the Yankees of basketball. Seriously. The Lakers always get the best players of all time. And then sure enough, that same year, unfortunately, Kobe Bryant passed away. And, you know, LeBron and AD, they won the title. And this is what's going to happen right now. They're going to get KD. They're going to get Irving. They're 100.
Well, right now.
I know it's not official. It's not official. But I right now I'm saying it's a 99% chance that they're getting Irving at least.
Well, right now it sounds like more Kyrie. The KD, that's a bit of a stretch right now because they would have to give up a lot to get they'd most likely have to trade Antonio Anthony Davis.
That would be my guess. If you want to make a fair, Anthony Davis has to be in the deal. But knowing the Lakers will find a way. That's how the NBA works. As long as the Lakers and the Celtics are and whatever team LeBron is on, as long as they can do what they have to do to win, that's what the NBA is gonna do.
Well, here's another report that came out. Saying that Warriors are trying to trade, might consider putting a package for KD, for him to come back to the Warriors.
And I'm not surprised there, too, because
Curry is
one of the faces of the NBA right now, too. And he played the best out of everybody this year right now, if you want to think, especially in the playoffs. So I mean, I'm not surprised either. That's how it is. The rich keep getting rich and the poor keep getting poorer. That's just the way it is. So I'm not shocked at all. You know, if he goes back to the Warriors, I'm not surprised, because he wants to go to a team that's ready to win a title anyway. He doesn't want to build a team from the ground up.
I don't think he should have left the Warriors to begin with. Should have just stayed there.
I mean, yeah. He regrets it. You could clearly see he regrets it, because he wanted to be on that gravy train. And he was, I think, tweeting stuff after they won a title. Like, he was saying, like, he's been dead for a long time or whatever. It's like, dude, man, it's not that serious, man. You got your two rings. Try to get another one. That's it. Like, I mean, you can't have everything you want. You got to just work hard and hope, you know, put yourself in the position that, you know, you'll succeed. You got to face adversity sometimes. I'm not saying he's never faced adversity growing up, but as an NBA player, man, come on. These guys just want to win a title. And obviously a title is important. The title is the goal. If you're an athlete, you got to try to win a championship. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it's like they're letting it define them. You know, if they don't have it or they don't have it. It's like just play the best you can. Help your team win. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's not meant to be, hey. Just go to the Naismith Hall of Fame. That's all. It's just the state of the NBA. I don't even know what to say right now.
I know. We'll see what happens. You know, but right now it sounds like Kyrie's going to be headed to L.A. at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can mark that down. You can mark that down. You know the NBA want to see that happen. You know the Lakers want to see that happen. So it's going to happen. Like I said, it's a 99% chance it's going to happen. I'd be shocked if it doesn't happen. But, yeah, on to the Knicks. Knicks have been courting Jalen Brunson, you know, throughout this whole playoffs, and, you know, where he played well, averaged, 20-something points in the playoffs, especially, you know, without Doncic. And now, you know, he has the opportunity to lead a team, you know, with the Knicks. You know, he finally has a chance to shine. And hopefully live up to that, you know, to that expectation. I mean, this guy, he's a warrior on the court, and now it's his chance to shine. Hopefully, you know, under familiar circumstances, you know, he knows Leon Rose, you know, his father. That was his father's agent, Rick Brunson. Who now he's the assistant. His father Rick Brunson is the assistant for Tom Thibodeau, who he knows very well, and Derrick Rose is now his teammate, who he knows very well as well, and Leon Rose's son Sam is now his agent. Like, it's just like, they're just, like, keeping it in the family, man. Like, I mean, I'm surprised the NBA is not going to call for collusion. Like.
Yeah, it's, the Brunson, let me just say something about the Brunson deal. I like Brunson. He's a good player.
Same here.
But I do not think he's worth that much money.
I agree.
I think the Knicks are overpaid, as usual.
As usual.
I also think they overpaid for Mitchell Robinson to keep him.
I agree.
So, Knicks, again, they shoot themselves in the foot. And they always have – the only
person that they can blame is themselves for this all the time. So when they don't have cap space, they can blame those loops.
Mm-hmm.
No one in their right mind is going to pay Brunson that deal, that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Robinson as well. Mitch Robinson, and he's got an average double-doubles, man, Robinson. I'm tired of it. This guy's like 7'2", 7'1". Mm-hmm. Can I get double-digit rebounds and points? And this guy has not averaged double-digit points and rebounds yet in the season. And they're treating him like he's like one of the best centers in the game. I wouldn't put Mitchell Robinson in top five centers in the game right now. Then he reached five centers that are much better than Robinson.
I'd agree with that. But centers are dying anyway. Centers are dying off anyway. I mean,
well, yeah, that's true. That's true. But Mitch Robinson has to show me more. I mean, he's been slacking a little bit, you know, here the last few seasons. So he's got to show me more.
Yeah, man. I'm with you. You know, I like Jalen Brunson. You know, I think he will improve. You know, I think he'll play well here. I'm glad Mitchell Robinson. I've been wanting them to re-sign Mitchell Robinson. You know, for a while. You know, I was thinking, hey, if you're not gonna re-sign him, you might as well trade him. Try to get something back. You know, but I'm glad they re-signed him. You know, however, like you said, most importantly, the Knicks should just keep overpaying. You know, do you know when was the last time before Mitchell Robinson was the last time they re-signed somebody?
What was the last time?
I think it was like maybe like 94 or something like that. Wow. I think they called it like the Charlie Ward curse. Ever since Charlie Ward, every time they have a contract, they never re-sign the rookie, the top rank. You know what I mean? Like the top lottery pick that they pick. You know, in the draft, they never re-sign them.
Crazy.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
So Mitchell Robinson is like the first Knick player that they re-signed in like 20 years or so. Like, they just let them. It's just a revolving door of people that they drafted, go leave through free agency, or they trade away, and then they just overpay for mediocre players. You know. Yeah, so they're always, you know, they clear up cap space, then they overspend. Then they try to get rid of the contract, then they get under the cap, then they overspend for another mediocre player.
Typical.
Now they're with Randle. Now they're trying to get rid of Randle and Evan Fournier when they could have got, what, Jimmy Butler? Like in the offseason, like they always, and then they were celebrating, they were doing victory laps in the off season, doing videos and commercials and bing bong with Kemba Walker, and then they just can't wait to get rid of him. Like, it just boggles the mind. They trade away a top pick, to erase the mistake that they have of an expiring contract. It was even to get rid of Randle, who they gave a 4-year deal extension. I'm literally shaking my head. Like,
why? I mean, this is the Knicks. I mean,
it just never ends.
Man.
It never ends, man. It just literally never ends. Let's just hope Brunson can stay healthy and you know, live up to the hype, and somehow Mitchell Robinson can wrap himself up in ceramic wrap or bandages or what? Well, maybe not bandages. We don't want him to go on the injured list or something. Do something. Put those that bubble wrap thing like in the boxes. You know, that popcorn thing that you know, like when you have precious, you know, stuff that you deliver and you don't want it to break.
Yeah, like bubble wrap.
Yeah. Yeah, just do that. Just wrap him over there and just, you know, make sure he's fine.
Styrofoam. Or you can
styrofoam.
Styrofoam.
Yeah, put styrofoam on him too. Yeah, that too. Hey, as long as he stays healthy, you know, that's all I care about. So, hey, do it. Oh, man. Speaking of healthy, Let's switch to the Mets. The Mets, they're going to get their aces back, hopefully. Scherzer, he's going to make his return on Tuesday night. And DeGrom, he threw his first rehab start, I think, of the year, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, he was throwing 101 miles per hour, which I think he should kind of dial that back, you know. He threw 24 pitches, struck out 5 batters in rehab. And this dude, I mean, like, he says he's 100% healthy. You know, hopefully that will, you know, that will be the case. But, dude, you don't have to be throwing 100 miles per hour in a rehab game. You don't want to get yourself hurt. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, DeGrom is finally on the he's taking that first step to return.
That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys need some of you guys back, because right now the Braves, it's like they never lose these days.
Mm-hmm.
Three and a half games behind you guys right now?
Yes, yeah, they are. They finally lost today to the Reds, who I think they were on a 10-game losing streak before today. But, yeah, the Braves are breathing down our necks, as usual.
Yeah.
Phillies won. They beat against the Cardinals. Yeah, I mean, the Mets, they win another series after facing a tough series with your nemesis, the Astros, swept us. First time we got swept all year. We went on a 3-game losing streak. But the Mets, you know, they bounced back against the Texas Rangers. Carrasco, he pitched well. Got the victory. I think it was his ninth win. And then the story of the week was Escobar, man. He homered in all 3 games in the Rangers series. And, you know, what proved to be the game winner today. So props to, you know, Escobar. He's been producing. Alonso, on the other hand, he's been slumping. He hasn't had a RBI in the last, 5 games this week. You know, and last time I checked, he still leads the National League in RBIs with 69 RBIs, and he's still stuck on 22 home runs. So hopefully, you know, when he goes to Cincinnati tomorrow, you know, he'll snap out of it, you know, go into patriotic mode and, you know, start, you know, drilling some balls, you know, start ignite the fireworks in Cincinnati and hopefully, you know, scare Mr. Red, who's a blatant Mr. Met copycat. I don't know if you saw their mascot before.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Oh, my goodness. What a blatant Mr. Met ripoff, man. Should get sued.
Him in a celebrity mascot fight. That'd be funny.
Mr. Met would beat him hands down. Like, it's not even a contest. The only mascot that could give the Mets, Mr. Met a run for his money is Philly Fanatic. That mascot is crazy and entertaining, I must admit. But, yeah, man, Mr. Mahan for the win, hands down.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's good. Mets won a series. You know, they bounced back. But, yeah, man, they got to bounce back. They gotta keep this momentum that they got from this Rangers series, and you know, go on a run, because the Braves are, you know, the Braves are back. I knew they'd be back. I knew the Phillies would be, you know, Braves and Phillies would be hanging around, but I thought they would make their comeback in the, you know, the second half, like in September. But yeah, the Braves are defending world champions. I almost threw up saying that, but it's, you know, that's facts. So, you know, until we beat them, they could easily come back and win the division again, you know. So we gotta believe and keep them at bay, and when we face them, show them how cowardly the Braves are. You know, that's all we gotta do.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens. What was I gonna say? Congrats to Pete Alonso and Starling Marte. They are the Mets All Stars. In the upcoming, thank you. In the upcoming, All Star game. I mean, there's a few Mets I feel that are also deserving, but it is what it is. Like McNeil, he's been hitting well. Carrasco, he has 9 wins. Diaz and them are huge omissions. You know, you got Diaz, man. Like this dude was just reliever of the month. He still can't make the All-Star game. I think there should be more All-Stars, but we shall see what happens. Hopefully there'll be more Mets added to the once they make the decisions, the teams, the coaches and the coaches and maybe the players, get voted in, and we'll see what happens. So let's switch gears to what were you gonna say?
The finalists for the All-Star game, they're gonna be announced this upcoming week or when?
I think so.
Okay. The All-Star game, isn't it in a couple weeks?
Yeah, it is. I think it's the 16th or something like that. Let me just double check. What was it? The 19th, I think it is.
Okay.
Let me make sure. Let me see. MLB. All-Star game. All right, let's see when is that. July 19th.
19, okay.
And I think it's in the... Isn't it going to be in the Dodger Stadium? Let me just make sure. Yep, the Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
Dodger Stadium, to be exact. The second one in Dodger Stadium. Last time it happened, it was in 1980.
Going to be a good one.
Should be interesting.
On the American League side, you have Aaron Judge beating mm-hmm. Vote Getter.
Yep.
And
well deserved.
He's definitely going to be there. Yeah.
Stanton. And your boy Trevino.
Trevino, yeah. So you're going to have several Yankees going to the All-Star game this year. Well deserved.
As usual. But, Judge, obviously, Judge and Stanton definitely deserves it, especially Judge.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Judge has been having a great season. I mean, I finished the year with 60 home runs, 100-plus RBIs, might be the MVP of the American League if he keeps it up. He's having a great season.
Hands down. Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. And, what's your thoughts on, their tough luck? Montgomery's tough luck, loss, 2-0 loss today.
Well, I mean, it was Montgomery, he didn't have it today, but, he didn't pitch too bad. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the Guardians, they did only win by, 2-0 was the score?
That is
correct. The Yankees didn't really score any runs for him either, as
mm-hmm.
usual. I mean, Yankees, I don't know why, but whenever Montgomery goes to the mound, they refuse to score runs for this guy all the time.
I think he's
kinda
Jacob
like
DeGrom.
How Mets, yeah, I was about to say that. Kind of like how Mets are with Jacob DeGrom, So,
I mean, Montgomery pitched well enough to keep the Yankees in the game, but the Yankees just couldn't hit. They only had one hit throughout the day, so they ended up losing 2-0. But they still win the series because they won the doubleheader yesterday. They won the first game 13-4 and then the second game 6-1. So they still win the series, but it would have been nice to win this third game here, but they couldn't do it. So off they go to Pittsburgh on Tuesday, but they're still on pace to win close to 120 games right now if they keep it up. So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, one more Met news, and technically Yankee news, too. Buck Showalter, he passes Tommy Lasorda on the all-time winning list.
Congrats
to him. Obviously, he started his career with the Yankees, and hopefully he will end his career with the Mets as a world champion. But, time will tell.
Yeah.
But let's switch gears, man. Let's talk the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. What's your thoughts on it?
It actually turned out to be a pretty decent pay-per-view. There were some good matches. I thought the women's match was really good. The men's match was so-so,
mm-hmm.
especially with the surprise entry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not so much of a surprise. I guess some people expected it. But you had a few good matches in there. I thought it was okay. It was decent. Not great, but it was a decent pay-per-view.
Let's dive into it. But before we dive into it, I don't know if we talked about it last week. No, I don't think it happened last week. I think congratulations to the Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup last year.
Oh, yeah.
A few days ago.
Right.
They defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Tampa Bay Lightning's quest of winning a three-peat and a dynasty ended at the end of the Avalanche. So congrats to the Avalanche.
Okay, congrats.
And the people in Colorado are jumping up and down for joy,
Oh yeah.
Well deserved victory by them. And they won in six. And game six was a 2-1 victory.
Yeah, well deserved by the Avalanche. Had a great season. So they cap it off with a title.
Yep, absolutely. But back to the Money in the Bank. Yeah, they had Liv Morgan defeating Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Becky Lynch, Lacey Evans, Raquel Gonzalez, and Shotzi, formerly known as Shotzi Blackheart, but against Vince McMahon, chopped her name off again, just like he's changing everybody else's name. Liv Morgan won, which was a great moment. But
yeah, that was great for her. She deserves that.
Absolutely, long overdue. But spoiler alert: we're not done talking about her. We'll talk about her in a few minutes or so. Bobby Lashley versus Theory. Got him to tap out. I was not feeling this match. I'm glad Lashley won, which, he should have won, and he did win. But making Theory kick out of a spear and a dominator and all that stuff, it's like, it's not believable. Theory is a cruiserweight-looking dude, man. Like, for him to be kicking out that move, it reminds me of Braun Strowman when he does that running shoulder tackle outside the ring and he knocks somebody down, or Big Show doing a spear on Rey Mysterio or whatever. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if a guy like that, those guys are so huge. If you're gonna get pinned by Edge doing a spear, and obviously Edge is a, you know, he's a big dude, you know, but as compared to those guys, he's a lot slimmer than them. So if you're getting like knocked down by Braun Strowman with that train running clothesline he does, I don't know what they called it, or Big Show doing a spear on you as a signature move, and you still get up, like, that doesn't make any sense. But you know what I mean? But yet Bobby Lashley hits a spear on which usually ends people's, you know, matches, and the Dominator. What's not an old move of his? Like, he that used to be his old finisher, but he doesn't really use it that much, really. And then, you know, he had to go to the Hurt Lock, which finally he made him tap out. Like, this match was 11 minutes long, and it seemed like it was longer because they were just stretching out Theory. Like, it just was unbelievable.
Yeah, Lashley other than the kickouts, Lashley pretty much dominated that match.
Yeah, but Theory kept countering the matches and having kicking out of moves that should have ended him long time ago. Like,
yeah.
WWE is trying to make him into this tough guy, and it's not working. Like,
yeah, I don't know what WWE sees in Theory. I mean, Theory must have, like, gotten given like Vince a handy or something.
Well, whatever it is, I don't want to know. And you know, them, you know, like, just shoving this push down people's throat, it's just not working. It's like, it's obvious. It's so obvious. Like, you want him to get booed by the fans. You want him to be the biggest heel in the company. I get it. But you're just going about it the wrong way. Like, just do solid, do good writing. Make him cheat. You know what I mean? Like, do heelish things.
Yeah.
Talk trash about people. Taking selfies? Is that really supposed to, in a culture where everybody takes a selfie, you know, whether they're, you know, sleeping or, you know, going to work, what, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make him stand apart. It just makes him relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, am I supposed to boo somebody who's taking a selfie? I mean, he's are we supposed to boo him because he stole Tyler Breeze's gimmick of taking photos, you know, of his opponents? And I mean, like, I don't get it. Like, how do they, why? Come on. Like, do they watch their old stuff from, like, the 80s and 90s of how people used to get over, you know, with the fans and you know, having the fans cheer and boo? I know they can't go over the top like they used to, but it's like, try a little harder. Like, fans are not booing Tyler, I mean, Theory, because, you know, he's this tough heel. You know, they're booing him because he sucks. And WWE is just clearly trying to force people to boo him. And it's like, I really don't care. I really don't care. I really don't care about his character. Like, I mean, do I find his character annoying? Yes. But I know that's what WWE is trying to do. So it's like, I'm not feeding into this, you know, negativity that you're trying to force the fans to have on him. So, yeah, Bobby Lashley wins, as he should have, and that match should have been a squash match. And then now you have Bianca Belair versus Carmella. Bianca Belair, you know, she defeats Carmella. And this match is 7 minutes? Like, I even know it was that long, you know? Like, you know, Bianca Belair did her thing and defeated Carmella.
Yeah, it's Bianca did what she was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, she won that match. And I mean, it wasn't the best match, to be honest with you. But
no, it wasn't.
Bianca did her thing. You got to give her credit.
After, you know, from behind after when she was celebrating, and now Bianca better look like she's in Super Saiyan mode. She's upset.
Yeah.
That girl's always smiling. Now she ain't smiling. She look like she's gonna. Carmella, man. Carmella always says Mella is money, but she didn't get bankrupt. Next time she sees Bianca Belair. She don't learn today.
Yeah.
I tell you that much. And speaking of the Usos, they defeat the Street Profits. Good match. I mean, you know, Usos, you know, they're part of the bloodline, and, you know, none of their titles are going to be losing, are not going to change hands anytime soon. So if you want to see a bloodline member lose their titles, this was the only match you could have potentially saw that happening. And yeah, I didn't see Street Profit winning in this match, even though I wanted them to. And you know, the Usos, you know, they hit the 1D, the one and done, and that's all she wrote.
That was a very good match.
To me,
that was probably the best match of the night.
Hands down. It's not even up for debate. It's easily the best match of the night.
Best match of the night. My first score is the, man, this guy
MVP.
Is just incredible. Yeah. Yep. Incredible.
If you got The Rock saying you're a future champion, sorry, Theory, but you got Montez Ford, you know, he called him a future champion, and he idolized The Rock. Like, I mean, what more can you say? Like, you're doing your thing. Your hero, you know, sees what you're doing and appreciates what you're doing. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know you're doing something right.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you had Ronda Rousey fighting against Natalya. This was a good match as well.
That was a good match. Yeah, I agree.
Real-life friends battling it out. Obviously, they're rivals right now. And, yeah, it was great. I mean, Natalya was great. You know, obviously, Rousey, she did her thing as a champion. And then, you know, the first shocking moment of the night was Liv Morgan cashing in her Money in the Bank. While she's cashing the Money in the Bank, I'm like, she's gonna lose it. But, you know, from what I was reading today, reportedly, Ronda Rousey demanded that she loses the title to Liv Morgan that day, yesterday.
Did I get it?
Ronda Rousey, behind the scenes, she demanded that she loses her title to Liv Morgan.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm shocked, you know. I mean, it shows she's a team player, you know.
Wow.
She sees the hustle that Liv Morgan is doing, and apparently she never wanted to win the title again anyway.
Wow.
In the first place. And she, you know, she demanded that, you know, that Liv Morgan win it because, you know, she put in the work, and, you know, props to her. I mean, this remind me of The Rock, you know, when he at the SummerSlam, 2002, he was supposed to defend the title against Brock Lesnar, but, you know, he saw the momentum Brock was having, and he changed the results and made Brock Lesnar win his first ever title against The Rock, and the rest is history.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, that's, you know, that's when you that's what happens when you care about the business. You know, you want to elevate new stars. And, you know, now Liv Morgan, she's been a fan favorite for a long time. And seeing her defeat Ronda Rousey, I mean, I think they could have executed the match better. You know, I wish the match would have went longer, and, you know, Ronda Rousey would have put up more of a fight. You know, obviously she's, you know, hurt. But that's the problem with the Money in the Bank cash-ins. It's like the matches should go a little longer. You know, obviously the injury, you know what I mean? Like, I just wish that match could have, you know, the injuries could have been more executed better. I mean, obviously she was in a lot of submission holds. So, I mean, it is, in a sense, believable. But I just felt, I guess, Liv Morgan should have been a little bit more ruthless, you know, to win that title. I mean, obviously she's a baby face, so she can't go over the top, but I just felt like that match should have been a little bit longer. I mean, this is her first ever title win. But most importantly, she won the title, and she's finally the champion. So props to Liv Morgan. What's your thoughts?
I thought it was Liv Morgan's night last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well-deserved, and, you know, she deserved it. You know, she's put in the work, you know, from day one. And I've become a big fan of hers. And it was I was excited when she ended up cashing in that Money in the Bank and winning the title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't been that excited for a female wrestler in a while, but it was well deserved for her.
100%. Yeah, she was the breakout star from the Riot Squad, and you know, she's the last woman standing for that group.
Yeah,
Ruby Riot is now Ruby Soho in AEW, and Sarah Logan, you know, she retired. I think she briefly came out of retirement for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's, you know, being a mother. So, you know, props to all of them, especially Liv Morgan. She's finally lived out her girlhood dream of being a champion. So,
yeah.
Easily the highlight of the night, for sure. So we're talking about the highlights. Now we got to go to the low light. So, you know, you're looking forward to seeing Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss, Omos, Riddle, Sami Zayn, Seth freaking Rollins, and Sheamus battling out for the thing. So I'm thinking, you know, Seth Rollins is most likely going to win. It would have been more interesting if Sami Zayn would have won, you know, to see if he really would have kept up his end of the bargain of not cashing in the Money in the Bank. Because he's an honorary Uso, it would have been interesting to see what that dynamic, would he have really kept his word? I mean, he would have been dumb if he did that. But sure enough, once Adam Pearce came out and said there's a surprise new entry, I'm like, who is this? Who could this be? I'm like, is it Randy Orton? Is it I'm trying to think who else. Edge? Like, I'm trying to think in my head. I couldn't think of who could it be. And then once he said it was Austin Theory, I'm like, it was like, you know, shaking your head. And it's like, well, I know who's going to win this now. And sure enough, this match went 25 minutes. But this match could have easily been 25 minutes shorter because once they revealed Austin Theory, or should I say Theory, he's in it. That theory became a reality. And, you know, the push, you know, he went over the edge, and now he is the Money in the Bank winner. Like, this dude was the United States champion not too long ago. Now he's the Money in the Bank. And I'm assuming Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns will lose the title eventually within this title year, and then Austin Theory will be a champion. And
that's probably what will happen, yeah.
It has to be a transitional champion somehow, maybe with a vacated title. I mean, I can't literally see him defeating either Lesnar or Reigns, but then again, if he could take Bobby Lashley to the quote-unquote limit, I mean, it's possible. I mean, it's possible. And it just ruined the whole pay-per-view event. It's a typical WWE pay-per-view event for the past 10 years. You could be like, hey, you know, this pay-per-view is not bad. You know, this pay-per-view is good. And then at the very end, this is man guy be like, you know what? I think the fans are happy. You know, I got to stick it to them, you know? So, yes, true theory. Why do you say how? You know, you're going to win this title, huh? And then, you know, sure enough, They you know, you get that outrage that the fans, you know, have. And then it's, you know, man is excited, you know, and that's the most important thing. When the writers are only writing for the audience of one instead of the fans, you know, this is what happens. So Monday Night Raw is going to be the same old stuff going on. Theory is going to be talking smack about, you know, to the fans, y'all didn't believe in me. Vince McMahon's happy. I'm going to take a selfie with Vince McMahon, which Vince McMahon will pop up. And then Kevin Owens will be feuding with Ezekiel and Ecclesiastes and all these different, you know, brothers of Elias. The Samson brothers, you know, that's what's going to happen. And Seth Rollins is going to be just laughing maniacally about, you know, he should have won and, you know, I don't know, just keep laughing, I guess. And it's just going to be the same old Raw, you know. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it, to be honest with you, man. It's just the same old stuff. I guess I'll see you guys in SummerSlam. I don't, you know. It's the same old stuff. The titles are not going to change in anyway, you know. Roman Reigns got all the titles. Usos got all the tag team titles. And Intercontinental and United States titles are irrelevant. So it's like, what's going to happen?
Yep.
Who's the Raw Women's Champion anyway? Oh, yeah, so it's Bianca Belair. So, yeah, the women's titles are the only one that you potentially there could be title changes with Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan as a champion, you know? Oh, yeah, that's basically that with that pay-per-view event. Shifting gears to AEW. They had a Blood and Guts event following their Forbidden Door pay-per-view event where Jon Moxley won the interim AEW title. Okay, so what happened on AEW Blood and Guts? Orange Cassidy defeated Ethan Page. Luchasaurus turns heel and joins Christian Cage. Yeah, Christian is a heel yet again. He betrayed Jungle Boy. Luchasaurus is a evil dinosaur now. And FDR and Danhausen, they defeated the Gun Club and Max Caster in a trios match. Jade Cargill defeated Leela Gray to retain the TBS Championship. Blackpool Combat Club defeats Jericho Appreciation Society in a Blood and Guts match. So, what was I going to... Oh, yeah. Yeah, Christian Cage, man, he was talking smack about Jungle Boy's family, and he even talked smack about, you know, his Jungle Boy's real-life father, Luke Perry, you know, obviously from Beverly Hills 90210 fame, you know, basically bragging that, you know, he's glad that, you know, Luke Perry is dead, you know, so that he wouldn't have to see, you know, his son becoming an embarrassment or something to that effect. So, you know, obviously he got major heat. And now Luchasaurus, you know, is turning to a heel. And, Jade Cargill, she's 34-0 and still the TBS champion, like I said, against Leela Gray. And, yeah, they have a new, what was I going to say? The Blackpool Combat Club, they have a new member, and it's Cesaro. So Cesaro made his debut this past Sunday at the the Forbidden Door pay-per-view event to replace Bryan Danielson, who was hurt. But on Dynamite, Jericho Society, which is Chris Jericho, Daniel Garcia, Daddy Magic, which is also known as Matt Menard, Cool Hand Ange, which is Angelo Parker, Jake Hager, they defeated the, they lost to, the new interim AEW world champion because CM Punk is still the champion, but he's hurt. I think he's having knee surgery. So in the interim, John Moxley is the champion, and he's going to, I'm assuming they're going to have a unification match once CM Punk is healthy enough in, you know, in Lord knows how many months from now. So Blackpool Combat Club won, which is John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, which is Cesaro's real name, Willa Yuta, Santana Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston. They came out with the victory against Jericho's group. So that's basically what happened on Dynamite. And then on, AEW Rampage, you had Brody King win the Royal Rampage to earn a shot, a title shot, on Dynamite. You had the Young Bucks defeat Hiroki Gotai and Yoshihashi. And then, last but not least, you had Toni Storm defeat Nyla Rose. So, this is basically all the stuff going on in the world of sports and entertainment. Anything you'd like to talk about before we head out?
Everyone, just have a happy July 4th weekend and just stay safe out there and enjoy the Independence Day. That's about it.
Yeah, you heard the man. I hope you all have a wonderful Happy Independence Day on 4th of July tomorrow, or I should say right now, since it's after midnight right now. So happy Independence Day. Check out his podcast, IMAC. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 10, only on Blog Talk Radio. And I hope to see you guys there. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S. and her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt.